This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Lana George. Today we're going to probably just give you an update on what's going on with Obamacare. We're almost down to the last week, or I guess we're in the last week before October 1st and the supposed implementation of this so-called law. I noticed that the rhetoric is changing and that the Democrats and the folks that are proponents of Obamacare are getting really personal and really nasty, which is always a sign to me that we're winning. Because when you have nothing to argue, nothing to stand on, then you have to, you know, resort to low blows. And so we hear the president calling people who are against the bill extortionists, Nancy Pelosi calling people arsonists, Harry Reid. They're all victims all of a sudden, and everybody's against them and out to get them. And basically it's all about them and not about the American people. This bill, from the time that it was introduced to the time that it was rammed through with all sorts of, you know, convenient procedural votes, to the time that the Supreme Court upheld it, which was all shocking, it was basically on a slippery slope to doom from the time that it was created, and now these things are coming to home to roost. There's so many intended and unintended consequences to this. It's definitely not going to be what people think it is. For the people, on the people side, we were told again that you can keep your doctor, that you are going to pay less in health insurance premiums, that you're going to get better health care if you're not covered, or if you are covered, you can drop your health insurance and join these exchanges and then get a subsidy. And in actuality, what's happening is the insurance companies are running scared. They got in bed thinking they can get 30 million people and everything would be business as usual. But in actuality, with all the mandates of coverage, the 26-year-olds still on their parents' insurance, mandating coverage for birth control to mammograms to colonoscopies and all this free preventative care, it's costing the insurance companies a pretty penny, and they're trying to pass it along preemptively to people who are working. So we see the premiums rising, some states up to 400%. I know, Dave, you mentioned that your premiums have gone up recently.
33%.
Right. That's because you're paying for everybody else. You're paying for the people who have their kids, adults, I should say, on their health insurance plans, on all these people who are healthy, who are otherwise not paying into the system. And what they're really trying to do with these exchanges is to actually prime the pump, to actually fuel our bankroll this monstrosity. They know they can't get it from the seniors. They've paid blood, sweat, and tears into the system. They can't give anymore. They have the people who are on the dole for whatever reason, who aren't paying a dime, who are all living for the subsidy. And then they have a shrinking population of working people, which they're making even smaller with their Obamacare mandates, who are supposed to pay for all of this. They're hoping that the young people will be dumb enough to get involved because they know. And this is why the 26-year-old thing was ridiculous. Young people are basically healthy on the average. They never go to the doctor, and they pay in premiums, and they never use them. That's what they want. That's the fodder that drives this thing. On the hospital side, I remember I talked about this ad nauseum pretty much. The people who were in on the initial meetings for Obamacare, who went up to, invited up to the White House, were major corporate donors and bankrollers and corporate interests, such as the Hospital Health and Hospital Corporation, AARP, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical insurance industry, and the unions. And unfortunately, I think, and I can't really swear to this one, the AMA. But if they were up there, I totally get it, because they're just a lobby organization. They do not represent a majority of doctors. Four out of five doctors do not belong to the AMA, for good reason, because they continually work against us. But that's another, we'll get to that. So all these folks went up there. The hospitals figured, bonus, we're going to get 30 million more people. The government's going to help subsidize this. They've got nowhere else to go. They're going to go on Medicaid and Medicare, and whammo, we're going to get some serious cash. And in that intervening 5 years or 4 years or whatever this time, it seems like it's endless, actually, they've been building out They've been adding on new extensions. They've been annexing small hospitals. They've been putting community hospitals out of business. The bigger the hospital and the more corporate, the more power they've managed to wield in whatever city that they're in. And I've seen this. It happens in Atlanta. It happens in places that I have worked at, such as New Mexico, where there's basically maybe two or three hospital systems, big games in town, and everybody else is a satellite of them. Either they're a clinic, they're a doctor that's on staff, that has a hospital base that's basically following their clinical guidelines, and they otherwise are paid in some way by them. The hospitals have gotten very mercenary. What people don't realize is that when you're the only game in town, you rule it. And now there, a lot of them have started up self-funding their own insurance. So who cares about Cigna and Aetna and United Healthcare? You go to Joe Schmo Hospital and they run their own insurance plan. And that's the worst case scenario because they won't take anybody else. So you end up having to enter their system, their pipeline, and not be able to leave it. You can't go to another doctor. WellStar is a very good example here in Georgia. People who have that insurance can't really go to anybody else. Even if they have PPO, they have to stay within their system. Technically, they have enough doctors to handle it, so they just go to another branch of WellStar. But you still have to follow the WellStar mandates of what gets covered, what doesn't, the treatment paradigm, what you use to treat certain diseases, for example, may stay within the WellStar pipeline. If you're innovative and you like to use a little bit of integrative approach, you're using supplements, and you're not part of that algorithm, you're not part of that system. And they'll make sure, we've talked about this, it's now all coming in focus. The people who are outliers, people who actually want to spend time with their patients, who want to actually ask them questions, who want to get to know them, who don't want to put them on a drug every time they walk in the door, will potentially be considered a disruptive physician because they're making the system slow down, or they're making it, they're not following the cookie cutter approach. And in my opinion, what that does in some cases is out bad physicians and bad treatment modalities, and that can't happen. So those guys will be removed under the threat of peer review. And peer review is basically a witch hunt, just like having a scarlet letter. Somebody can anonymously complain about you, which doesn't mean that you're a bad doctor at all. It just means you piss somebody off. And that may mean something as small as not saying good morning in the OR to the nurse, and they get offended, and it's sexual harassment all of a sudden. I mean, the things are endless what they can do to you. So it's not really designed to remove bad doctors. It's designed to remove agitators and people who ask questions, and just like the government is doing. You know, it's about get along, follow the rules, and shut up. And if you don't like it, then you'll be removed summarily, or we'll make sure you don't have a job. So there's an issue, in my opinion, with doctors who practice hospital-based medicine, where they lose their autonomy. And I've spoken with multiple physicians, worked with multiple physicians who had their own practice for 30 years, 35 years, who finally, you know, the fear got them and they were desperate enough to become part of a hospital staff, sell their practice to the hospital, and they're dying to retire now because they're so unhappy. They realize, I shouldn't have done it. They only want me to do is see more patients, more volume, get them in, get them out. It's all about the hospital completely overriding the doctor's personal preferences. And that's not medicine, but that's where we're moving. And the hospitals now are getting a rude awakening after this, feeling that they would be invincible. The government double dealt, and they're actually decreasing the reimbursements for Medicare and Medicaid. And these hospitals signed up for something called bundling, which I know all too well as a solo practitioner. What that means is you get paid a lump sum for a procedure or a diagnosis. If there's a complication, tough. If the patient doesn't follow the cookie book, or I should say the cookbook, tough. You just ate it. So you can actually lose money seeing patients. Now, as an independent physician, I'm a businesswoman. I saw the writing on the wall, and I said no, and I opted out. But the hospitals are all in. So now what we're seeing is people like Cleveland Clinic and Vanderbilt University Hospital, and across the country, they are firing people, laying off people, asking people to take early retirement, downsizing their departments, And I'm trying, for example, in Atlanta here, I'm trying to get a patient to go for speech therapy. It used to be the easiest thing in the world. They've closed the speech therapy departments in these hospitals. They don't answer their phones. It's taken me months to try to get a patient in. And now they don't even do it in the hospital anymore. They've outsourced it. So this is where we're going. You're not going to be able, not only not to be able to see your doctor, but you're also not going to be able to go to a hospital and get full service because they don't offer them anymore if they're still open. So this is what Obamacare is bringing to bear. It's not about access. It's about the government taking over everybody, and they promised carrots, and in actuality they had a big club waiting for you to knock you out. And the doctors who, the hospitals now are seeing what that's about. The insurance companies are now about this. Well, they are seeing what it's about because of all the mandates they have to cover and all the people they have to cover for free. They're not going into these exchanges. We've already seen states where UnitedHealthcare opted out of California. Oregon has, I think, one or maybe two insurance companies in their exchange. There is no competition. It's a monopoly, or it's the government alone, or it's a joke. So the system is completely corrupt, was set up by cronies who thought they could pick a bird, pick a carcass clean, and the government ultimately always in these instances has power. It gave them some money, some pay to play. Now they're coming for everybody. And once this happens, I got to ask a question the other day on the radio. Once Obamacare, if it comes online and it breaks the healthcare system, could it ever be recovered? I'd have to say no. I think it's going to become a two-tier system. Those who understand that understand where it's going have already or are about to leave it, and those who have means to pay for doctors who've left it are out, and they won't come back in, leaving all the suckers and the poor folks who cannot escape this and are at the mercy of the government. And as I think all you need to determine is what Kathleen Sebelius did to that, or tried to do to that child who needed the lung transplant. She could have cared less whether that kid died. It was all about following her rules and looking, having committees set up to figure it out. Well, that kid's time was ticking. And if it hadn't been for everybody's outrage and how heinous it was, that was the only thing that saved that child's life. So imagine Kathleen Sebelius on steroids, where she doesn't have to answer to anybody because there isn't anybody else, no other alternative. Just think about that. That's where we're going.
With that, Dr. George, let's take our first break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can in some cases stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think today we're doing a breakdown of, an overview of how this system was designed. This whole ACA, Affordable Health Care Act, was designed to get rid of the current medical system. I've spoken about it before. This is a bigger picture. This is about the World Health Organization. This is about globalizing and standardizing healthcare in the United States. Every other developed country, industrialized country, already belongs to socialized medicine. They follow something called the ICD-10, which is the coding system, the most recent iteration of it. That's what we're going to go to in the next, I would think, the next 6 months, or at least within the year, where I think it's nine digits to the code, and 140,000 different codes, as opposed to, I think there's 16,000 now, which is crazy. But 140,000, everything from getting coded for getting pecked by a duck in your backyard at 2 in the afternoon. That's how stupid and specific these codes are. No one has time to do that. You have to hire somebody just to do that. And if you don't code properly, obviously you don't get paid. But there's a different mentality now to the government. When you run afoul of their regulations, their mandates, you are guilty until proven innocent. HIPAA just came out with their final designation of the changes of HIPAA. And before, it used to be if you went afoul of it and somebody, you had a breach of your security, then they gave you time to remedy it. It was a mistake. Now it's willful. It's considered to be, you did it on purpose. You have to prove that you didn't. I now have to re-sign HIPAA contracts with all of my vendors, from hearing aid vendors to, if you buy medical supplies from somebody. You all have to have this HIPAA agreement with each other. And if somebody breaches it, they're going down. They're getting fined for $25,000. They may be put out of business if they're a small business like we are. This is like actually practicing in some sort of, siege mentality.
And you're paying a tax on the...
Oh, yeah, that's already come online. So when I see my explanation of benefits, what the company, the insurance companies pay, there's a few pennies, like a 80 cents, a dollar something for managed care tax. So it's been coming out.
Okay, so does this get passed on to your patient? Or?
No, I can't pass on anything to my patient. I'm just a sitting duck. So basically, the patient, if they pay me, I can't go after them if they don't. I mean, I could send them the collections, but so what? They don't have to pay it. The government can come after me and just remove money from ACH, electronic transfer, without even telling me. They just decide, hey, we did an audit, and we felt we paid you too much, and we're taking it back. No questions asked. I guess you could complain, but that will take so much resources that you just do it. So it's why do this? Any doctor worth their salt would not want to enter this system. The only way they'd want to do it is if someone were paying their paycheck, like a hospital or a huge group, and then let somebody else take the onus off of them. But what people who enter that system realize when they enter it is that you're never free. You're still working for somebody else, and it's even more onerous because you don't have a choice. They're doing it for you in your name. The hospital is billing with your name. The big group, you're building under umbrella ID. So if you really have reservations and misgivings, the only way you're out of it is to quit, retire, have the moxie to open up your own practice, which it's not easy to do these days. So either you just fall in line, be miserable, pass that misery along to your patients, basically just go along, get along. It's designed to break you. It's designed to break your will.
Like you said, it's designed to break the doctors. It's designed to break the patients. Mm-hmm. It's designed. We were talking last night about you know, quote-unquote managed health care, whatever you want to, you know, it's the death panels that say, okay, you're not productive any longer, put you out to pasture, and that's it. And how much money that, I guess they're looking at some bean counter pushed around the beans and said, well, gee, if we get rid of everybody 65 and older, we can bring back, so that we can save Social Security.
Yeah, right. Well, everybody is going to be 65 at some point. And so be careful what's okay when you're 20, and it's okay to do it to your grandma. It may not be okay when you get to be that age. And I see this coming in such a way that once you do it to the seniors, the next vulnerable group will be the young people, the infants who are born with medical issues. Or, God forbid, they're screened genetically, and pre-birth they're found to have issues that will cost the system too much money. Then what does that lead to? It leads to a slippery slope where someone will decide whether or not you can even give birth to a child because it's going to cost everybody so much, potentially. And what people don't realize, too, a lot of these science now is not really independent, right? So when you're getting these studies that they spout off on TV, you really need to ask who funded it, who performed it, who interpreted it, because it's a lot of times bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry that's running the trial for their drug. And we've already seen them get nailed for rigging results, for getting rid of patients who are outliers, who make their result not what they want. We have them reporting partial data, and we have the mainstream media just reporting things as if they're gospel and truth. For example, I think there was a study that came out about prostate cancer and was it PSA? I can't remember what it was. That you shouldn't get your PSAs because they didn't really give you an idea of your risk of cancer. And this, or I'm sorry, I think it was taking fish oil. Fish oil increased your risk of prostate cancer, something like that. Completely not true. And the study was flawed, but it was put on TV as if it were true. Who paid them? And you think about who advertises on all these news shows. It's Viagra. It's all sorts of new drugs coming out. Don't tell me that they don't have a say-so. They have to on what gets reported in the news and what doesn't get reported in the news.
You said just a second ago that, you know, they had been caught, quote-unquote, pharmaceuticals and so forth. Who is the watchdog?
The FDA, supposedly, who has a revolving door with the pharmaceutical industry so that they get to leave industry, go into regulatory and, you know, the government and decide who wins and who loses and who gets slapped and who doesn't. They, even when they get caught, they only get these fines that maybe they can pay out in cash most of the time that they make in a day. And we're talking about billions of dollars. And I think it's Pfizer or one of the companies was nailed for off-label use of their drug. And they got a fine that was enormous. And they paid it in cash. It was like a day's worth of work for them. So that's not stopping them from doing what they do. They should be put out of business and not be allowed, at least for 6 months, a year, make them suffer. There's no pain involved. So it's like a revolving door here. I mean, think about this. You come up with a drug that doesn't really work. You lie. You make people think that it's effective. You sucker in whatever insurance company you pay to play. So they're paying to have this medication put on the formulary as a preferred drug. Then that trickles down to the corporate pharmacies, who basically have preferred networks for their insurance company. So if you have Cigna, you're supposed to go to, I'm just using an example. I don't think it's true, though. Cigna to CVS or United to Rite Aid or whatever. Bottom line is you are pipelining your people to a specific pharmacy. They stand to gain from this drug. Then after the drug is found to be an ineffective or hurt people, then you have the trial lawyers come online with the class action suit. You think it's ever going to change? Because it's a money mill. And the only thing that's happening is people are getting caught up in, you need another medication. You need a stronger medication. You need a medication for the side effect of the medication that you're on. And again, the most important person in all of this is the individual. Start questioning people. Why do people just sit there and just do stuff? I don't even understand that concept. You're working against your own interest. If it were fabulous that you're on 99 drugs and you're sicker, then wouldn't you start asking the question, if I'm on 99 drugs and I'm sicker, is there another way? That would be, you know?
Well, I think over the years, and quite frankly, I don't think all of this has just happened, and we talk about this on other shows, but they've dumbed us down. They've made us into sheep.
We've dumbed wait a minute now. We need to take responsibility, personal responsibility. We've helped ourselves get dumbed down because it's easy. There's a poll out with young people, millennials, whatever you want to call these guys, who 51% think that the government should have more power to help them. Give me a break.
It scares me to death. And people, just like you said, you have to think out of the box. You have to ask. And I've gotten over the years asking more questions. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, why this? Why that? And if I don't get the answer, then it's up to you to decide what you're going to do. You're going to go to another doctor. You're going to go to a specialist. But you got to ask. And if you're in a hospital situation,
definitely,
for God's sake, have somebody else there with you.
Oh yeah,
that ask and doesn't mind asking.
That's right. And don't feel ashamed about asking. This is when you know there's an issue. When you ask a question and the person gets nasty. If the doctor gets short and tries to throw you out of the practice, or how dare you question my credential, any of that stuff, you need to move on, because they don't either know the answer, they're hiding something, and they're not your advocate, they're your adversary. And you can't live like that. You won't live like that.
No, it'll be a short, very short term. And I think, too, that you've mentioned this before, Dr. George, that, you know, a good doctor thinks outside the box. And a good example of this is vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
A number of things that vitamin D works on beyond infection and when you have a cold or whatever. But it's an incredible supplement, as is fish oil.
True. And it's prevention. It's cheap prevention. It's pennies a day, really. And it lowers the risk of colon cancer 70%, breast cancer, prostate cancer, to not be vitamin D deficient. And there's so many people spending so much time per day indoors, not going out for lunch, having it at their desk, kids playing video games, not even going outside. I mean, the list is endless of, it's not the same. I used to be outside all the time when I was a kid. That's changed. So now we have children starting off with vitamin D deficiency. I mean, really, there's so many. It takes work. You cannot be spoon-fed your how you think, what you eat, what to think. You can't allow somebody, you shouldn't allow somebody, anybody, to do the thinking and the eating and the whatever for you. You have to actually live. And it's not by default. It's not by osmosis. You actually have to actively do stuff.
You know, I want to get into that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on Medicine on Call. When we come back, I want to talk about exactly what you're talking about, being your own or taking care of your own self. That's what you've got to do. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and light weight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat 3 well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with 2 snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey, inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, Dave and I were talking about personal responsibility, and I don't trust anybody except God. I don't trust the government. I don't trust the media. I don't trust anybody. I look up things myself. I cite my source. And if I write something on a blog, trust and believe I have looked it up and actually put it into the blog. Because I don't want you just to take my word for it. You need to do the work. So did I. So do you. I'm trying to make it easy for you to go and find the things. But that's only the beginning. The rest is, it's a trail. You need to follow it. And when people are, as soon as people get nasty, this is why, again, I say that we're winning this war on this Obamacare. People are getting nasty. They're getting personal. They're trying to emotionally turn you off. And this is what the Zelensky tactic is. It's about getting personal, making it uncomfortable for you to express yourself because you will be called something. Name calling. It's just, it's what they do. I can't believe anybody at this point who really has seen this thing play out for the last 4 years, 5 years, will get upset and offended or stop doing what they're doing when they're called a racist or a sexist or a homophobe or a classist, you name it. I would just stop responding. I don't even respond to it anymore. It's like, so obviously I've already won the argument if you have to go there because you can't even cite anything of value. That's what it really is about.
It is. And, you know, Dr. George, it's in everything. It's in business now. It's obviously Obamacare is touching a lot of, you know, business individuals, so forth and so on. We have a great tool, the computer. You can go to it. You can check things out, just like Dr. George was saying. And if you don't find the answer once, keep trying until you find the answer. It's coming, and I would venture to say we're on the brink, and you better know as much about everything as you possibly can.
Absolutely, but I think that we're on the brink of going one way or the other. If people decide to stand up and start making their voices heard, this is a bully-driven system. Any bully that I've ever dealt with has backed down when you stand up to them. By any means necessary sometimes. And it works. We've seen that with Syria. When people started calling their congressman and saying, don't do it, 10 to 1, they stopped. Now people are calling about Obamacare. There's polls, even among the stalwart NBC people, 41% think that it's not going to work and that's going to cost too much. They're losing the war of rhetoric against the people who really were for it initially. And what their worst fear is for those people to get in line with the people who are against this. That kills this thing. And it kills their chances of staying in power. And they are like, you know, vampires just grabbing on, hoping that they can just suck the blood out of everybody before we fight back.
You know, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, well, I guess it's 2 weeks today, as a matter of fact, 1.3 million bikers showing up in Washington, D.C., delivering a message that we've had it. We're not going to put up with Muslims trying to take over our country. We want to be heard. And they were well heard. And
not on the media, though.
Nope. It was covered up on the media, you know, only a few. But the reality was they showed the strength. And they're going to do it again and again. And we've got the trucker situation mm-hmm. coming up shortly.
I heard about that.
We also have something that everybody should, You know, and this is the point of getting people to understand it is going to affect them. November the 13th and 14th, they start shutting down the grids. This is very scary to find out. Supposedly, it's only going to be a very short time thing, so they can see how fast they can bring them back up.
Yeah.
And
one of those drills?
Pardon?
It's one of those drills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody needs to know. Let me ask, how do you prepare if you are on hypertension, blood pressure drugs, or you have to take, you know, how do you up your ante of getting more?
Well, you want to ask your doctor to give you a 3-month supply. Okay. So they're usually you can write them, mail order them, actually, up to 90 days with one prescription, which actually is cheaper because you're paying one copay and getting three times the amount of medication. That's one thing. I don't think they'll do it in a year in advance, but you can probably ask for that. You know, they can fill it. You can write the prescription in such a way that you might be able to fill the whole year as one prescription. So I would start doing that so that you actually have your own supply without having to leave your house. At this point, I think if that drill does happen, the best case scenario for people is to be prepared. Have your food supplies already in-house, hopefully freeze-dried. Get gas cans and start saving your gasoline so you're not stuck on some line forever. And when the gas runs out, and then they jack up the price to $9 a gallon, et cetera, start preparing in case now. We've seen what happens in New York and in New Jersey. Those places were just devastated, and those people ran out of food. And the supermarkets only have food maybe a week, and the things that you really need will be gone in hours: water, bread, milk, et cetera. It's time for people to now start depending on themselves. I have no interest in going to a FEMA camp or any kind of holding facility. They're not safe, and they don't do what I can do to protect myself. They don't.
You know, I got to touch on one thing. We talk about this on the Classic Car Show on Saturdays. If you go, and you should, just like Dr. George said, load up on some gas. Have 10, 20 gallons of gas at your residence or wherever you can store it. But our infamous government has taken care of our gas supply by calling it ethanol. And ethanol will only stay in that can about 4 weeks that it's worth anything. So what do? You have to buy their products on the market, Stable, and several other products on the market that you can put in your 5-gallon gas can to stabilize it. And it'll be good for like up to a year.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's great.
But you have to put the additive in.
That's great information. I think another thing that people don't know about maybe is the hand crank generators. I mean, they have solar powered, but, you know, you don't want to depend on that. And it's going to be night at some point. Who knows, right? So if you get a hand crank, that'll last power things for about 7 hours. That's just you, some elbow grease. That's actually going to help you power your radios, your cell phones, your means of communication. That's also important. And there's a company, plenty of companies out there, but there's a company that I bought from called eFoods Direct, which has freeze-dried foodstuffs, really reasonable, last for 20 years, and they taste good. I've actually tasted the stuff. So I would start getting that. If you don't want to do that, canned goods, things that not aren't going to be perishable. Your pet food, that's really key. People don't think about their pets, but they should start gathering and keeping that as well. And water, because water is the key. If you don't have water, you're hosed, literally. So I find that the more that, and it goes for everything, the more you prepare, the more you're ready for anything, the less susceptible you are to being driven by fear, which is what this government works on. It's always about fear. Fear of being sick. Fear of not having a doctor. Fear of being invaded by some terrorist organization. Fear of some rich people taking all of your wealth, or poor people taking what you have, or zombies. It's always that. And ultimately, if you step away from the table and see it for what it is, where they're trying to manipulate you, it's laughable. It's not even believable, half the stuff that they tell you that you should be worried about. Now it's going to be the flu epidemic again, yet again. And the vaccine industry is we need to talk about it because you're going to get a push now. The vaccine industry is complicit in misinformation, in peddling a product that really has not been proven, who in some patients is unsafe. I'm reading a book now about vaccine injury based on gut flora, meaning that if you're a child and your mother didn't breastfeed you or she didn't have the proper amount of bacteria in her reproductive tract when you were born, then you don't have it. And if you're depleted, then you are more susceptible to inflammation. And when you get a vaccine, you're more likely as a child to have a bad outcome, autism, even adult, Guillain-Barré, whatever. So it's not that it's 100%. It's that there are certain populations that are more susceptible. You need to know who you are. Maybe if you gave people probiotic a month long daily double dose of probiotic and then gave them the vaccines, they wouldn't have these injuries. These are simple things, but no one wants to talk about that because they just want to shoot you up with 99 different vaccines by the time you're 18, and they don't work. The whole measles epidemic actually happened also on children who got the measles vaccine. So if it's so fabulous, then they shouldn't have gotten sick, right? There's nothing like natural immunity. I will never get measles. I will never get mumps again. But I cannot say that for someone who got the vaccine instead of got the illness. And most people who get it do not die, don't have a complication, actually do give herd immunity, and it's not artificial. This is a money-making venture.
In our case, both my wife and I both had, we both had mumps. But had I had it and she hadn't, would our children still, does it transfer from either parent?
It transfers from society. I mean, you get it from someone who, you know, going to class, going to school, touching a surface. So it doesn't work that way. Okay. But if both you and your wife had it, let's say as children, you wouldn't be the ones to give it to your kids. They would not be able to get it from you.
I mean immunity, though. Do they get any type of immunity?
No, the immunity that... You get a natural immunity from your mother if she breastfeeds. And that's another thing that's happened culturally. Women used to breastfeed all the time until about the 70s. And the risk and in the study, they're saying that autism rate was a 1 in 66,000, some huge number. Breastfeeding stopped because it became out of vogue. And so it was all about bottle feeding. And it's not healthy. It's sugar, water. It doesn't boost the immune system. It probably even suppresses it. And after people changed that, the gut flora changed, and then all of these diseases started coming up. And they're talking about things like ADHD, autism, schizophrenia, you know, actual mental illness is being driven. They think it's actually nutrition or nutritional deficiencies, which is a fascinating argument, which would make sense because our food supply is horrific. It's nothing like it was 30, 40 years ago. And I think we're reaping what we sow, and they're doubling down. Now they're not only, I mean, we're talking about a lot of things on the show today, but I would just have to say I was appalled that the USDA is going to approve Chinese chicken coming into our food supply. Are you kidding me? China? Anything from China I wouldn't touch, but definitely not the food.
Isn't that horrible? I hadn't heard that.
I can't imagine it. USDA, the unmitigated gall to allow more tainted food to come into that. Not only do they let GMOs and Monsanto rule, but they're letting these people come in. Gosh, on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Are you tired of taking medication to control your allergy symptoms? Do you suffer from uncontrollable asthma or eczema? Sublingual immunotherapy is a safe and effective alternative. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is committed to bringing the newest medical advances to their patients. With sublingual immunotherapy, you can now train your immune system to stop responding to environmental and food allergies. No more shots, no more trips to the doctor, and freedom from taking daily allergy medication. The drops are simply placed under the tongue 3 times a day. Both children and adults can be treated. It is safe and cost-effective. Call Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center today at 404-591-9100 for more information or to make an appointment. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Mention that you heard about sublingual immunotherapy on Radio Sandy Springs and get free allergy testing.
Hi, everybody. It's Don Zabkar, your host for Who Knew? We air Mondays 2 to 3 on America's Web Radio and then occasionally throughout the week. We've got some great subjects. This administration or this regime, as you know, is providing us with great material. So stay tuned. Check us out. America's Web Radio, it's Who Knew? With Don Zabkar.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think the take-home message of today's show to me is you need to be prepared to handle your business. I don't care in what form you want to put that. Health is what we talk about. And it's time to start making some changes. If they're going to allow chicken from China to come in, and I read another article recently that there is arsenic, high levels of arsenic in rice in our country. And guess where we get it from? China, right? So these guys have, it's a filthy industrial country. They have waste running through their rivers. That's what irrigates their rice fields. And we're getting cadmium, arsenic, all sorts of heavy metals and toxins, which our government says is okay. So you're eating rice cakes. I suggest that you look on your label. And if it doesn't say organic or made in the United States, you shouldn't eat it because you don't know what you're getting. The fish, the tilapia, for example, is farmed mostly by prisoners in our country. That's another whole show. But, I mean, that's a whole slave underground economy that the prisoners are making. Saddles, they're making. They're not just making license plates anymore. They're fish farming. They're actually running whole industries that are being driven by private prisons, and they're making mo money. These guys are getting paid pennies a day, you know, maybe like $7 a day. That's a heck of a lot different than a union fee or a union wage. And this is, it's a system that's, if you just need to pull back the layers, people, and look at how corrupt and disgusting this is. While on the surface, they tell you how bad you are for thinking, how racist you are for wanting to keep what you earn. I don't care if you're black or white. Everybody's racist all of a sudden. That you want the best for your children. You want them to actually be educated. And somehow that makes you against black people. This is not a medicine, but I have to mention this. Because this is symptomatic of how the government steps in and they play games with us. While they do exactly the opposite of what they say they're going to do. So this core curriculum I know you've heard about.
By the way, this gives me a good segue. We're starting a brand new show, taking no enemies at all, and exposing the corruption, Common Core, how bad it is, the corruption in the school system just in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Georgia itself. It's beyond the pale, beyond belief.
Oh, I can imagine.
And it's in every state. Our kids are not getting taught. And this Common Core is just, it's bad.
It's indoctrination.
October the 8th starts a new show exposing all this.
Well, it's indoctrination. And if you don't know what you don't know if you never got taught it, which means the way they're thinking now, everybody's a victim. You can never get ahead if you're black or you're a minority student, or even if you're white, you're always guilty. And there's no reason to try because it's all against you. You don't want a society where people think that way because they're useless. All they do is feed on each other and whine when they don't get ahead. So in Louisiana, I feel so bad for the parents down there. Their core curriculum for their public school kids is horrific. There's actually somebody gave a lesson plan. I guess the kid brought it home. The parents looked at it, where it was talking about, excuse my language, pimps and something, some sort of hoe thing. I don't know what it was, but it was something. It was a lesson plan on that, and the kids were asking the mother, you know, what is a pimp exactly? And the mother complained, and she was told it fits the core curriculum, you know, guidelines.
You know, Dr. George, and we pointed this out the other day, if you have, and please, folks, listen, if you have grandchildren or children, obviously in both cases they're your responsibility, so take that responsibility and get your kids out of public school and out of private school and teach them yourself. Homeschooling, in our opinion, is the answer. You can still buy history books that tell the truth about history. Hmm. You can buy other books. And, you know, they want to take something out, too, is they don't want kids to be able to do their own research, to be able to dig and find the answer. When you and I were in school, I was very fortunate. My parents, if I went to them and I said, you need to answer a question, I need help on this, just like we were, our kids, we would help them, but they did their own posters. They did their own papers.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are there to help, but not to do the paper, do the
work
for them.
Parents are doing the papers now,
Oh, my God. You know, I heard a story where schools had gotten the Parents Association to get somebody to volunteer to be their copier person, come in on Wednesdays, and your day's Tuesday, whatever. And the parents were in there copying tests and giving them to their kids.
Wow. But that sets an ethical, moral tone, doesn't it?
You know, it's incredible. So it's the whole, and these are the kinds of things that we're going to talk about and that have got to be stopped. And if you want them stopped, you have to take the responsibility and homeschool your kids.
Well, you have to be careful because I see that there's a homeschool curriculum being pushed on TV, which is basically what they're teaching in school, and they're saying it's sanctioned by the public school system. Stay away from that, too.
That's like buying chicken from China.
Basically, or rice from China. I think Ron Paul actually has a homeschooling education curriculum, which people may want to look into. I mean, if you're not educated, you cannot defend yourself. And if you are taught to believe that the government loves you and that you should give all your power to the government because it's going to protect you, like you should give them your guns, you should give them your children. I mean, they've said that on MSNBC, that the government should be the parent, not you. You're just a biological contributor.
Breeder.
Basically. But that's not how society works. And if we have professional victims, professional bullies, professional, you know, it's all ingrained in people, then they can't think outside the box and they become controllable. All you have to do is push a button, Pavlov response. You mention racism and people lose their minds and they work against themselves. So just going back to the school situation, the parents are up in arms en masse. They want their children to be able to go to a charter school. The Justice Department is suing Louisiana to stop the charter school. Now, how racist is that? We have probably a majority of black children in that system, learning nothing, parents desperate to get them into a system that's going to work, and you have the Justice Department coming in, swooping in, and saying it's racist to have them leave the public school system and trying to stop it. Who are they hurting? That's the reality. And under the guise of fairness, under everybody getting a fair shot, what we have is people being slotted into silos of, I'd say, desperation, no future, and there's no way out.
Control.
Absolute control.
And I think this is obvious. It's obvious in Obamacare. It's obvious in our school system, our educational system.
It's a template. It's like stamping on every single part of our society. The last piece of it has been health care. But 1/6 of the economy is nothing to play. That's a lot of money, and that's a lot of control. You only have two things in this life, your health, your family. Three things, God, your health, and your family. If you don't have your health, you can't work. You can't be productive. You can't be participating. You can't participate, which is what they want. They just want you to sit back and just let them do. It's outrageous. But until we stand up and say we're not going, everything, not going through the scanner in the house, in the airport, we're not putting our children in this system, we're not giving up our guns, we're not going to just let Congress run over us and like we don't exist. All those people are up in Congress. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. If their constituents are voicing outrage, then who is it for them to say, I know what's better, I'm going to do what I think is best for you? Then you're not my representative, are you? Then you should be gone. I think you need to clean house up there.
Oh, very quickly. By the way, if you're not familiar with this group, please look into it and support it. It's called Oath Keepers. And this is military and civilian law enforcement folks that have taken an oath to protect and defend our Constitution. That does not mean taking orders from anybody. It means that they are there to defend, protect and defend against enemies and domestic. And this is a group that it's all made up of military and or civilian law enforcement officers that just say, no, I'm not taking people's weapons. That's illegal.
Well, I think that everybody should stand up for themselves. I'm not interested in being part of a group or a herd. I'm an individual, and I'm not going to let anybody run over me. And ultimately, if everybody started to have that mentality, they wouldn't depend on a group to speak for them or to help them. Everybody standing up is more powerful than any group.
Sure.
Because it doesn't have to be hurt. It doesn't have to be, you know, ginned up.
Point was,
no, I'm with you. I'm with you there. But I think that's great. But I think don't wait for that. You know,
yeah.
It depends. If you have that mindset, then it's someone else that's going to do it. So I can just sit back and let them do. You can't do that now.
How many? You know, it's like I polled my neighborhood sort of, and basically. I'm it in my neighborhood. A couple of other people, that one happens to be in medicine, that seem to be doing something. But how many of your friends are taking action now?
I have a few. They are thinkers and they're critical thinkers and they don't run on fear. Again, the first step to freedom is to control your own destiny. Have your supplies, have your rainy day. You know, I have a friend who actually has backpacks packed for herself and her children, ready to go in case there's an emergency. They don't have to think about it. It's all there, ready to go. You have to do that, because once you do that, you're like, I can handle that. I'll just sit down. I'm not going to run off to whatever camp they tell me to. I have a month, the longer the better, but at least a month's supply of whatever. So whatever crisis gets handled and then it comes. And then you actually calmly take control. It's about being thoughtful. Once your emotions take over, you lose any rational thought. You are just a sitting duck for whatever is going to come at you. You can't do that. That's what I decided to do as a doctor. I looked at my options. I saw reimbursements dropping. I saw the insurance companies becoming even more powerful and more mercenary. And I've devised ways to get out from underneath that yoke. Direct pay. Bartering. Hell, if it comes down to leaving medicine, I would hate to do it, but it's a principle. It's an ethical principle, moral principle. I will not become an agent for the government. I will not work against my patient. Do no harm is what I took an oath to do. Under Obamacare, I am put in a position where I do harm every day, either to their personal information. I can't give them supplements because their insurance won't pay for them. So I doom them to pharmaceuticals that may not help them or may hurt them. I'll be signing them up for vaccines. I can't do that. So ultimately, what it comes down to everybody listening to the show, is to take responsibility for yourself. Stop depending on the government. Start reading and start getting your power back. And those people who represent you, let them know in no uncertain terms that you're not playing this game anymore. Trust me, they will fold.
We'll be back next week with more Medicine on Call. And Dr. Elena George, thank you as always, Dr. George.
Thanks for listening.